Good morning. You're on the air with Senator Kelly.
Hello. Good morning. I don't know what's going on with the medical marijuana, but I know for years now that certain people have been fighting since New Hampshire is the new hemp state, fighting for alternate energy sources. And I hear hemp is unlimited for sources. Let me verify. Hemp is a different plant. According to marijuana, it's a cousin. You can't get high off it. You could smoke a field of the stuff, and you'd probably get a headache before you get high. But it has so much uses, including medicinal. You could use it for wood. You can use it for rope. I mean, I am astounded that 1937 is still holding strong with passing the law to make hemp illegal. When here we got are in a nowadays situation, and we're encountering, you know, energy crisis, when this could be an unlimited source, and America or a good portion of the political it chooses to ignore that. And is it greed or is it politics? I mean, come on.
I think it's
we need to smarten up here.
Misunderstanding, or I hate to say ignorance, but I think that people don't know the difference.
It's probably all of those things. I think it's probably a combination of not knowing enough about it, educating. I don't know what isn't political, especially when we're dealing with issues that you're talking about, both the energy and any kind of form that might be construed as we'll be changing our laws on drugs. And so it's probably all of those things. And I think it's, you know, we can continue to talk about it and learn about it. I think that's really where it is.
Well,
I want you to know that my family is doing their part. My new grand dog has a hemp collar.
There you go. For what it's worth, I agree with the caller. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lack of understanding about what hemp is versus mm-hmm. marijuana. The uses are unlimited, but even if we were to pass it at the state level, it's still a federal situation that we would need to convince a whole bunch of other people.
But we'd certainly need to look into other energy sources. So pass me the information.
What I understand, though, is Kentucky legally grows it, and that would be based on a federal and state level. Also, I mean, when it went illegal in 1937, we made it legal for World War in 1941. I mean, and then we made it illegal again. So it's kind of like we got some civil activity there or tendencies in our in politics. I just think that the plant speaks for itself with the unlimited amount of uses. And if people refuse to see that, then I guess we're doomed to repeat our history. So on that note, you people have a wonderful day.
Good caller. I just wanted to say, not to give the senator any additional light reading, but whatever you can find about what's occurring in Kentucky, if that's so, perhaps you could convey that to her in hard documents, so maybe she could read it and be educated that it is occurring somewhere, and so far it hasn't had any negative effect, if it, in fact that is the case.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
And if you have it on CD, that's even better. You can listen while you're going back.
There you go.
I have books on the stuff. I mean, the information is out there.
Good.
There's been an extensive amount of scientific research on it as well.
Make it the Reader's Digest version.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
357-1290. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Senator Kelly.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, I'm sitting here listening to all of these callers call in about various problems, and you guys seem a little short on solutions. And I think that's because you're looking to the government to solve the problem. I mean, in the case of Fairpoint, the caller was understandably angry that he's not getting customer service, and he's calling for more government regulations. But he needs to take a step back, I would think, and realize that who it was that granted the monopoly to the phone company in the first place to operate in this area, and that's government. And adding more regulations is only going to serve to further raise the bar to entry for new companies to come in and compete, which would naturally take care of these problems. You had the caller calling in about
Iraq and so forth, and you said, Fred, that there's no simple solution. Well, sure there is. Stop interfering in the lives of other people, and you just pull out. Obama announced basically he's going to start funding the Pakistan military and do the same thing that the United States is doing in Israel, and we all see how well that's working out. So if you're looking inside of the government system, sure, answers are short because government doesn't create answers. It creates unintended consequences. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye now. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, guys. It's Ian from FreeKeen.com.
Well, and good morning to you.
Well, I have to say, I'm with the lady who called before me and you, Fred.
How did I know that?
Isn't it a great world?
I'm shocked that something like this would go through here in Keene, and it you know, it's absolutely benefiting one individual or one company at the cost of everybody else.
And well, everybody's going to be part of the co-op. I mean, anybody who wants to be, you can be, I can be.
As long as you pay a membership fee.
Anybody can be.
Right. If I wanted to be involved in the co-op, I could get involved and invest in the co-op, or I could be a member in the co-op if I had an interest in doing something like that.
Right.
You know, if you wanted to do something for these people, you could just you know, give them some of all this land that the city owns and just let them grow some food on there and not charge them all these absurd property taxes. I think it's interesting that one of the justifications you mentioned was that, well, if they succeed, then they'll pay property taxes in the future. It would be easier for them to succeed as a business and all of the rest of us if we didn't have this tremendous tax burden to pay for. But you know what? Actually, the reason I was calling today, Cynthia, is to address something you said last week. You were talking about free staters, and I'm not sure if you mean free staters or liberty activists, because there are free staters that are liberty activists that are moving to New Hampshire, but there are already people that are New Hampshire natives, like Nick and Toby from Free Minds TV, that are New Hampshire natives and liberty activists. But
I'm one of the original free staters. I moved here 37 years ago for a better life.
New Jersey. I don't blame you.
The wilds of New Jersey.
So, Cynthia, what you said was that free staters want to peacefully incite, now I wrote this down, want to peacefully incite other people to not be peaceful. And it sounded like it was a little confusing to hear you say that, so I wanted to have you expound on what you meant by that.
Wait a minute, she's getting up off the floor.
Actually, I got an email from someone who said the same thing, and I explained it to him as well. I don't remember that I said that. If you say I said it, I did. It probably came out wrong then.
I'm sure it did. It sounded like one of those moments where, I mean, I know what it's like being a talk show host where you've got to fill a bunch of space with words, and it
right.
can be easy to trip over yourself and not really
communicate. I think what they're trying to do is, or you or whoever is trying, the individuals. My concern, and this is my only concern, is when they are going to break the law, they announce it to the world. And that drives me nuts.
Well, sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
The railroad square with marijuana in my pocket. I'm going to take a camera into the courtroom after I've been asked not to.
Do you understand, though, that I see why, I understand that you disagree with that particular public relations approach.
Right.
The reason for announcing those things in advance is because they are civil disobedience and they want attention to be brought to these issues. What you're citing there, both of those things, cameras in a public court and marijuana being possessed by an individual, are not non-peaceful acts. Those are peaceful acts. They're not violent in any way, and there's no victims involved in that. So to label those anything but peaceful is inaccurate. Do you agree?
Well, I guess, except that I think that what they're trying to do is incite somebody to react. I hate to use the word incite. They're trying to get someone to react to what they're doing.
I think that would react in a negative way.
I mean, if you're standing there with marijuana,
there
you want the police to come and you know, arrest you, or if you're going into the courtroom, you want the judge or the people, the guards outside, whatever they're called, or whatever
bailiffs
to, you know, tell you to get rid of your camera or, you know, don't come in. And that's
I don't think that's true. I see why you can why you would take it that way, but I don't think it's necessarily true for everyone. I think there are a lot of people, a lot of liberty activists that would just like to see, for instance, in the camera situation, courts allowing cameras into public trials. And I think that with the marijuana situation, we would like to see peaceful people who aren't harming others being left alone. So had the police not shown up and had they not arrested Dave Ridley for having a camera in the court lobby, then everything would have been continued to been fine. Everything, the cameras would have gotten in, Andrew would have possessed the marijuana, nothing would have happened, taxpayers wouldn't have had to pay for anybody being locked up in a jail cell.
But
so
nobody would have known.
The situation is that you guys, that these people aren't arrested.
Well, so how many people do you think stand on Railroad Square with marijuana in their pocket? Nobody knows it.
That's a good question.
Lots. Strangely enough, Ian, I agree with you with regard to the camera issue, and I thought there was a Supreme Court ruling in New Hampshire several years back relative to WMUR about this very issue, and that it was ruled that they could have a camera in the courtroom, because God knows I've seen video of cameras in New Hampshire courtrooms. So I don't know the rest of the story, at least from Judge Burke's perspective.
I invited Judge Burke out to lunch the other day.
I don't think that's...
Did it work?
He probably said no, right?
He said I needed to talk to the clerk about it, but he seemed positive toward the idea.
Okay.
So.
Well, that would be good, and that would be a way to perhaps start to affect change or at least understand his perspective. All that said, we do have another caller, and we have enjoyed speaking with you as always. And have a great day, and see you on the streets of Keene.
Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning. Cynthia, Fred.
Good morning.
The previous caller mentioned something I thought was really interesting. He said something about that the city's character would need that, and that they would need this this farmer's market. Well, what about grocery stores that supply, like, produce and stuff? Should the grocery stores get money from the city to put groceries in the produce aisle? Of course not. That would be... going against the free market, and it's only, what, $5,000 to get this thing going? Well, why doesn't he reach in his pocket? He sounds like a guy that sounds pretty articulate, even more than myself, and, perhaps he has that $5,000 to invest. I like the idea of a farmer's market. I like growing produce and stuff. When my mom was still alive, me and my brother, we grew peppers and tomatoes and all kinds of other goodies and stuff out in the yard. We even tried to grow some eggplant, but it didn't work out too well. But, we did that with our own money. We didn't ask for any handout, and we didn't have the force of government, and that's the thing here. I want you guys to understand this. We didn't have the government extracting the money from people by force.
At gunpoint.
Yes, there you go. You are learning, Fred. I knew that we can work on you. And we chip away that stone. You know, the sculptor Rodin was asked by a newspaper reporter way, way back. He said, oh, how do you create those wonderful sculptures? He says, oh, I don't create any of them. I just chip away what's on the outside, and then the beauty that's on the inside is released. And that's what we've done to you, Fred. I'm so
open-minded.
Yes, you are.
Now I'm trying to work on you all to understand that liberty is a good thing and something to strive for, but anarchism is not.
And freedom isn't free.
Oh, well, you know what? I think that freedom is not free, and you're right. And anarchism and stuff, you might want to define anarchism, because you might want to reject those old ideas, those cartoon images of what anarchy is out of your mind, so that you can understand it better. You know, a voluntary society is nothing like those visions that you may have had implanted in you, in the public school system, perhaps.
Who knew?
You know what I'm saying? But thank you very much for having me on this morning.
Have a great day.
And you too, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Good morning, Aaron. Talk back.
Good morning, Fred and Cynthia. It's Sam from FreeKeene.com.
Hi.
Hey, I'm calling to announce a new co-op in Keene that's available. There's a post about it on FreeKeene.com. Looking for a gardener. The plot is about 16 by 70, and the greenhouse is about 7 by 9. Best part about it is nobody's house had to be threatened to be taken away from them in order to fund this thing.
No guns.
done completely voluntarily and completely outside of the government system, free of any undue tax burdens and
where
so forth.
Where
is it? At my house.
Where is that so people can come by?
Oh, now, Fred, you know I'm not going to give that to the bureaucrats.
I'm not a bureaucrat.
Well,
you can give it to me.
Did I hear right that you quit your job or something? Was that another Parcells?
That's my sister-in-law.
Your sister-in-law,
no,
okay.
It's not me.
My
name is not Karen.
I caught part of it on the radio, and I was wondering if that was you.
But
no, it just goes to show you that it doesn't have to be this complicated process. I completely agree with you, Fred. I think for one of the first times, there's no need for the city to be funding private business cases. I'm buying a business in the area. I spent 2 weeks, about $5,000, doing my own due diligence and investigation as to whether or not, you know, this is a viable business. The thing serves over 800 people a week in one of the local communities. It provides a gathering place for people to talk and so forth. And why on earth would the city have anything to do with me determining whether or not it's a good investment?
So did you or any other people of similar mindset to you attend the meeting? And because Councilor Georgina here is telling me that everybody that was there spoke in favor of this proposal, which led her to vote for it. There was apparently little or no opposition. So where were you?
Well, that's the problem with the representative government, Fred. People have busy lives, and they don't always have time to go be caretakers of government.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who want to take away freedom and raise property taxes for silly things like this. That really, what we're talking about here is these people are just lazy. They're too lazy to do their own due diligence, to do the work, to call other co-op farmers, to look at market prices, to do all of this investigation on their own. So they're looking for a handout. And the saddest part is, my neighbor's working a second job to help pay for property taxes. If he knew what his money was going for, if he had to actually physically hand it over like that, how long are people going to keep paying for this kind of stuff?
Well, you know, in this instance, you and I happen to agree, and that's pretty scary all by itself.
Hallelujah.
however, and I said this after you called during the first hour, and yes, mm-hmm. we are giving you a second bite of the apple.
Well,
don't do it again.
It's a big apple.
It's a big apple. Anyhow, let me just go on. That you typically paint government as the bad guy all the time. I 100% agree with you that government is out of control and it is largely the bad guy in so many instances, but it's not always the bad guy.
Can you give
government,
me an example?
In providing police and fire safety services for communities, I think there's an absolute need to have that controlled by local, state, federal government. That's my example. You don't have to agree with it. Now, so why don't we work towards making government at all levels better rather than destroying government at all levels, which is largely what people who think like you want to do. Maybe,
okay, can I respond to that?
Quickly, because we have another call.
Okay, so, you know, I see what government does is it's taken a monopoly on violence. It is the supreme law of the land, and the buck stops there, so to speak. That makes them they're really no different than the mob. They just have a nicer PR face on them in the court system where people feel like they can be heard, even though it's, you know, prosecutions turn out to be 99.8% of the time in Texas a guilty verdict.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to reduce crime. I know that I'm not going to reduce crime by going out and joining a crime syndicate. I'm going to educate people as to the flaws and the problems with government so that they see that there are better solutions out there and that we don't really need these people going around and threatening their way and their beliefs on everybody else.
So what you need to do in your organization is to work towards, excuse me.
Well, we don't have an organization.
Well, yes, you do. You have the Free State Project, which brings like-minded people here.
Yes.
To a community, in this case, Keene, of probably 22,950 like-minded people. That's the rest of us, as opposed to the maybe, and I'm stretching the number, 50 Free Staters that live here. So you need to work within that organization, and I know you've been attending meetings, and I give you congratulations for doing that, because that's how you do affect change. You participate. You don't hold marijuana or bring cameras. And
well,
so that doesn't get you anywhere. That's just foolishness.
That's how you believe is the best way to affect change,
and
I have a different viewpoint on that, and that's what's great about the Free State Project is activists are free to come here and do what they think is best to bring about change, and it's the same way that we want society to run, where people are going out and doing what they think is best.
The Free State Project will never prevail because it has no leadership and it has no focus.
Mark your words, Fred.
It's just, as I've said before, it's kind of like the Mickey Mouse Club back when I was a kid. It's a lot of young people having fun while they wait to grow up.
You wear baby ears?
All right, time will tell.
All right, thank you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hi, this is Patrick from FreeKing.com.
Hi.
I'm calling to oppose the spending city money on the food co-op.
Okay.
I know a lot of people have already opposed it, but the reason I'd like to throw out is that if there's $5,000 lying around in city funds, it should be divvied up proportionally and given back to the people who paid into that system involuntarily.
Absolutely. Isn't that amazing?
Well, you know what? Off air, Fred and I were talking, and I was saying there's no reason why they can't, the people in the co-op can't be asked, and Fred was saying this as well, cannot be asked to repay the money, that people who live in Keene cannot be given a reduced, in other words, if they're going to become membership, they can get a reduced membership fee because they've already paid something toward it. So there are some creative ways that perhaps we could do this without it.
Those are two solutions, caller, to the problem.
Guys, there's a word for what you're describing. It's called a loan, and it occurs without government most of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They what they're looking for is an interest-free loan, and those don't occur without the government, generally speaking.
Well, maybe they shouldn't occur, or maybe someone charitable can voluntarily give them a loan.
And you know, we have a precedent here in Keene. I don't think you lived here at the time, but there's an organization called MEDC, Monadnock Economic Development Corporation, that back, 15 years ago or so, built Black Brook, which is in a corporate park area, which generates hundreds of jobs and thousands of dollars in tax base, all of which is good for this community. And they built a water tower, and the city helped them with that. And just recently, they paid the money back. It was a loan. Now, we did waive the interest, and I think that was appropriate. But they paid the money back to the city, and I think the same thing could occur with this venture.
Okay, but it seems like you guys are assuming that if people weren't forced to pay property taxes that, you know, somehow this wouldn't happen voluntarily. But I think that's absurd. I think people care much more about their money than probably the people in government, and they would be much more likely to spend it wisely than the people in government.
Well, unfortunately, in our society, be it Keene, New Hampshire, or wherever, USA, property taxes are a way of life. They are a fact. We try to minimize them or reduce them. In New Hampshire, if we had an income tax, it would go a long way toward doing that, but our politicians haven't figured that out yet. And I'm sorry to tell you that taxes, property taxes, are a way of life.
Well, we can change that, though.
Nah, I don't believe so. You can change it, but I don't believe you can.
Well, I can't wait till the day, which hopefully will be soon, when people won't have to do anything involuntarily in Keene, and I think that day is coming.
Don't hold your breath.
Well,
you know,
let me know when it happens.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. 357-1290, 1-866-357-1290. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning. I'm sorry, I just forgot your name, sir.
It's still Fred.
I'm sorry, Fred. Fred, good morning. I wanted to disagree again. Okay.
Is that yes, so, yes, and no?
Something like that. So I wanted to disagree with you, Fred, on the fact that you said that you can't not have property taxes.
Right.
I would go into more details, but that's not really the point I was calling.
Uh-huh.
I thought it would be, you know, it's important to know that it's not necessary. I wanted to agree with you that the city of Keene should not be paying for this $5,000 for the co-op.
Right.
And I will agree with Cynthia, and I think the co-op is a good idea. So here's my solution.
Okay.
And I don't live in Keene right now, but I'm planning on moving there in September.
Uh-huh.
Because I think the co-op is a good idea. I'm more than happy to put my money where my mouth is,
uh-huh,
and I can write a check for $50 towards that $5,000.
Okay.
And the people out there who also agree with me that this is a good idea, instead of forcing all these people out there who disagree that it's a bad idea, put your money where your mouth is. It's not that much money. Put your money where your mouth is and write a check.
Wherever you live now, do they not have property taxes?
Where I live right now, they do have property taxes, which is one of the reasons why I'm moving to Queens. So hopefully,
but we have them as well.
Where do you live?
I agree. I'm in Miami, Florida right now, but I agree with you. And I would like to see you have an extra, you know, $2,000, $4,000, $6,000 in your pocket at the end of the year if you didn't have to pay property taxes.
Property taxes are a lot higher in New Hampshire than they are in Florida.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you on that one because they tax us on everything else. So actually, I pay a lot more taxes in general than you guys do.
Right, that's true.
So for me, it's a discount to start off.
We're third lowest in the nation when you look at it.
Right, but I think it can still be decreased. And just to show you that California, and if you go to California, they'll tell you it absolutely is necessary that their taxes, their sales taxes have to be 10%.
Sure.
Whereas New Hampshire will be like, no, absolutely not. It's not necessary because we're in New Hampshire and we're able to do it. We're able to live without charging people 10% of sales tax.
Okay.
So the same way, you know, I think the same thing could be done with property taxes also. But well, I'm not putting my money where my mouth is. If anybody else that's going to agree, ask them to write a check.
Okay, listen, don't forget to pack your long underwear and your boots when you move here.
Oh yeah.
Have a great day. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Ducky, how are you?
Ducky, all right. Well, I have a question. Does the Free State Project, does it exist like in a treehouse down on Railroad Street? Is there like a secret password?
There's a secret handshake.
There's a secret handshake.
Yeah.
Where there's, I don't know. It's funny. I think there's a club aspect to it. It strikes me.
Well, I've called it the Mickey Mouse Club.
But are any of the folks involved in it, have any of them run for city government or
yes.
Yes.
Julia Miranda, Miss Julia, as I like to call her, ran, it'll be 2 years ago for Ward 4 council against the person that actually got elected, Councillor Lane. And she did a very good job first time out of the box.
And last fall, Varen Swearingen ran for state rep.
Yeah, well, you know, in a funny way, I can respect that a lot more than just this sort of half-baked, not terribly well-thought-out rhetoric that gets tossed out that, you know, often it just seems really intellectually childish. But if somebody's going to actually try to put themselves on the line and test themselves in the political process, I guess I could have a lot more respect for that.
Me too.
And in fact, and even if they were able to get into office and then have to actually make decisions where they have to deal with constituents, et cetera. That's more grown up, it seems to me, and that's what I would like to see rather than just the sort of, I think they love to hear themselves talk.
I think you once referred to the whole thing as Mary Poppins-like.
Maybe so.
Yeah. they're well-intentioned people, I think. They're just not on the same wavelength that I am and 99.9% of the rest of us around here are.
I think they just believe differently.
They
do. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, if we all...
Cole, you're probably old enough to remember Flower Children and hippies, right?
Well, I guess so. And I guess I had the same sort of weird dis-ease about those folks, too, because, you know, a lot of talk, but I'm more concerned with what people actually do.
Right.
And for instance, if you're going to talk about government or even dismantling government, I want to see you put your ear end on the line and start to make decisions where you're accountable to people and accountable to constituents. And then let's see how you behave. Otherwise, it's just, as the cliche goes, talk is cheap.
Sure. As I read online, several local members of this organization, and they don't refer to it as such, but several of them are anticipating running for city council this year, which will be very interesting given that they are looking to dismantle government rather than making it work. So,
you know what? For re-election.
I say go for it. You know, and actually be in a position where they have to convince people other than outside their very small group of their ideas. And if they can make their case to other fellow citizens, more power to them.
But, caller, you know as well as I do that you could elect a chimpanzee if you didn't put their picture in the newspaper.
Well,
right? I mean, people largely don't know who they're voting for or what that person stands for.
Well, I agree with you totally, but then that's our fault, isn't it?
Yes, oh, absolutely.
So, you know, look, I think if they want to actually make decisions and participate like adults in the process, get elected to something and actually have some responsibilities,
yep.
And then good for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. How's everything up at Big Green?
The Big Green, well...
Good morning, you're on TalkBack. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I was calling in regards to the last caller who was saying that everybody that in the Free State Project should run for a city councilor or get involved in politics, and I'd have to say I'm very much opposed to that because we don't necessarily believe in forcing other people to do things. We want to create a new society that people voluntarily want to associate with.
Well, how will you get them to voluntarily do whatever it is you want them to do?
I voluntarily ran for council. Nobody pushed me into it.
Yeah, but the actions that you do force other people to whatever the city councilors want to happen, they just force other other people to basically take part in what
pick something, caller, pick something that government currently provides and tell me how you would make it work voluntarily. You pick it.
Okay, we say common business. I'm a young adult. I'm just starting out, and I'd like to start my own business, but a lot of the government restrictions that are in place, they prevent me from doing that because I have to meet all these codes and regulations that don't necessarily protect anybody.
Well, I have a 27-year-old nephew, that's pretty young, I would think, who just started his own construction. He digs holes in the ground. You know, he did it all by himself. He has a partner. And they did it. They I'm sure they had to meet some regulations and pay insurance, but they were able to do it. So why would he be any different than you? He's only 27.
Well, for example, my girlfriend, she's very interested in cooking. She works at a restaurant here in Keene, and she wants to start a business, perhaps catering. But there's just the amount of money that you need to start up a business like that. You can't just use your kitchen at home and...
Well, go to the city. Go to the city. Go to the city. They'll lend you $5,000. Maybe they'll even give it to you. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, it's just a huge startup cost. Like, you can't just start out in your house, and as you save money from accumulating or saving money from your business, you can grow from there. You have to take a huge loan, buy a huge kitchen that meets the regulations of the city, and
Well, it's not
but
perfect.
But don't you understand, and maybe this is the problem, that the city has those rules in place because they want to ensure safety. I mean, they want to know that your girlfriend is preparing the food using, you know, plastic gloves, that she's not handling the food, and probably she wouldn't do that, but there are people who would. And so they wanted. That's why we have those rules in place to protect the public good.
Well, I mean, for example, I eat in the kitchen that she uses, and I don't get sick every night. I mean, how are you saying that people's homes are unsanitary? And
oh, many, many,
many
are.
Many of them are.
I'm a housing inspector. You'd be surprised at some people's kitchens. Anyway, we have to go. We have another caller. Thank you for your input. 357-1290. Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Hi, good morning. It's Mark Edge from Free Talk Live.
Well, Mark, how are you?
I'm well.
How's
Jack and Mr. Grouchy Pants?
They are.
And Laura, your lovely wife.
They are down in Florida.
Well, oh,
dear. The wife and Jack are. And I'm so lonely. I mope around the house. Nothing means anything to me while Jack's not around.
I don't believe it. But anyhow.
That's really close to the truth. So I'd like to rebut the spokesman for the Free State Project that was just on.
Yes.
The Free State Project is not a group of people that stand against, a government of all sorts, and they do not believe that a government necessarily should just entirely go away. They are an organization of 20,000 people that wish to move to see that the maximum role of government is the pursuit of life, liberty, and the protection of property. And so... There are people, members of the Free State Project, even ones here in Keene where all the nutters are coming, that believe that, you know, there's a role for government. And they would just like to see government, A, get out of things that it does poorly, and stick to things, you know, the people in the Free State Project that believe this way, would like them to just stick to some things that they're better at.
You know, Mark, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. You get my vote for president. I mean, you are the most reasonable and rational voice of all of them. We all believe that government has a place, but boy, it could be a lot better and a lot smaller.
Right.
Well, I'd like to point out a couple of places that I think that we could look at. For instance, the recreational center. How I'd like to see that run in the free market is the same way they run the YMCA.
Okay.
We do charge some fees there, but go ahead. We understand the theory.
Well, the theory is that there would be no correlation, no money going from the city government where people are forced to pay in to an organization like the Rec Center, which could be just as easily run like the YMCA, which is run completely on voluntary funding. It's growing, it's getting bigger, and one might argue being run more efficiently.
Well, there is that nebulous term, quality of life, and that's part of why I live here and perhaps part of why you're living in the area. And people want a quality of life, and in some of their minds, a nice recreation facility is part of that equation.
Well, those people get that quality of life with the YMCA, and I'd like to point out that that quality of life isn't spread out fairly. I looked at a piece of property in Keene to buy a house. Mm-hmm. It was out on Route 10, just inside the city lines, and I would have been paying the same amount of property taxes as somebody lives next door to that rec center and, not too far from the fire department. That person that pays the same amount as I would out on Route 10 would get a heck of a lot more services and, quality of life than I would, but they'll still be paying the same thing.
That's true. That's a fair argument. I believe that.
And I also think that people in other towns, this is something I haven't been able to articulate completely, so forgive me if it's not great, but I live in Westmoreland, New Hampshire, and one of the things that makes Westmoreland great is it's right next door to Keene, and all the taxpayers of Keene pay all that money to make the really great roads, except for Washington Street, make Keene a really great town that I just access as a member of the town of Westmoreland.
Well, yep. What do you do when you need a police officer?
In Westmoreland?
Yeah.
I haven't needed a police officer. What do people need police officers for?
Well,
God knows.
I mean, to bring home paychecks.
Mostly what they do, mostly what the police officers do in Keene is give out tickets and quiet down the rowdy college people.
Well, actually, police officers don't give out tickets. That's the parking enforcement officers. But
oh, he means speeding tickets.
Oh, speeding. Sorry.
Yeah. They do give out tickets. They give out plenty. And I'm not saying that that's not a legitimate role. I'm just saying, we don't have that many roads, and when you go too fast, you die.
I agree. Let people drive 100 miles an hour down West Street, and if they have an accident, who cares?
I'm not saying we should get rid of cops and shouldn't give tickets.
Oh, okay.
That in Westmoreland, if you go 100 miles an hour down South Village Road, you'll be dead before you get to the end of it.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Have a great day.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now.